Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Hi, my name is Bobby Fry, and I've been attending Essential Church since 2012. I am also a competitive bodybuilder and have been competing for over 20 years. What goes into getting ready for a bodybuilding competition? Diet, obviously. So I start dieting 16 to 20 weeks out from a bodybuilding show, and I will train 5 to 6 times per week. Sometimes early morning, late nights, whenever I can fit it in, I'll train. And it's real important to stay hydrated. Intermittent fasting is, I use during the off season. So not so much during prep for a show, because I'll need to eat 5 to 6 times a day to fuel my muscles and for the amount of training I'm doing. So intermittent fasting is used as a maintenance program in the off season for myself. So the most popular one is a 16-8, and that would be 16 hours of non-eating or fasting and 8 hours where I get all my meals. So typically for me, it'd be 8 p.m. the night before. I will stop eating, and then I'll start eating again noon the next day. My opinion is that God wants us to fast so that we focus more on other things besides food. So it brings us to a point where we have to think about other things in our life. And if you can control your food, something that everyone has to have and do all day, I think you can start to form a habit where you can control other things in your life as well. When I diet, I give myself a cheat day or a refeed day. That's my goal at the end of the week or the end of so much time, where I can have something that I felt like I achieved for the week as a reward. How does bodybuilding relate to becoming more like Jesus? I think it boils down to discipline and focus. Jesus was obviously disciplined and focused. It makes us really narrow ourselves down into what we believe. And I think the core essential aspects of bodybuilding are that you obviously have to have a focus, you have to have a goal, and you have to be disciplined. And I think when you combine these three things, that you can achieve anything that you want.
Come on, that song's growing on you, isn't it? First time you were like, and now you're like, yeah. So we've been talking about habits, and it's funny. We were, thinking about this series this past fall, and it was kind of already in my mind that I'm in the lobby one day and talking with Bobby, and he was just finished that show that he had just done, and he says, I got to talk to you sometime about just everything that's been going on, training for this show, and what that's done for me and my relationship with God. I was like, well, let's talk. And so as we begin to talk, he's talking about intermittent fasting and this regimen and the discipline, and only thing that keeps going through my mind is the theme verse for this series that was coming up, and that is, it's out of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says that, let me make sure I read it right. It says that train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding the promise for both this present life and the life to come. And so here's Bobby, who's been going through all this training to get ready for this competition, and I'm thinking about all the training that God wants us to do to become more like him. And he's sitting there saying to me, the more I was training, I had this time where I would do this fasting, and when you're not eating meals, it just begins to sort of make you focus in on bigger things in life, and how there was just so much spillover between the fasting I was doing to prepare my body and my relationship and walk with God. And so I was thinking, that's kind of right in line with what we're going to be talking about in this series. We're talking about, if you're going to do anything, you need to train for it. If you've been watching the Olympics, maybe last night you saw the Olympic skiers. They go over this big ski jump. They do all kinds of backflip twists and twirls, and they stick a landing most of the time. And you watch that, and you can't help but look at that and go, how on earth does somebody do that? I mean, how do you begin that? And I'll tell you this, it's not by trying hard, okay? Trying hard is never going to result in doing that kind of stuff. Trying hard is going to get you killed, right? You try real hard to do all those flips and stick the landing, you will break your neck. The way they do that is by training. They were talking about how they do trampoline work, where they just sit there and they do all those twists, all those jumps on trampolines, and they're constantly doing this. So maybe your kid's in the backyard on the trampoline. They're getting ready for the Olympics right there. They're training for it. And then I remember one year in the Olympics, they showed us what they do when they're first learning how to do all that stuff. They have a ramp that's over the water. And so they go down this ski ramp, and they do all those twists and turns. They try to stick the landing in water because water is a lot more forgiving than that hard-packed, icy snow that they're hitting right now in the Olympics. And so they would train, and they would train, and they would train. And so if you're going to do anything like that, it's going to be the result of training, not just trying. See, so often we put a lot of emphasis on trying instead of training. Like if I were to ask, can you go run a marathon? If you tried really hard, could you run a marathon? No, your trying would probably get you maybe a mile for some, maybe 2 miles for others. If you run regularly, it probably might get you to 5 to 10 miles. But you're not making it all 26, even if you're a runner, unless you are training for that marathon. And so by training, you can do what you cannot do by trying. And part of training is to develop habits that will lead you to the point where you can do what you cannot do now. And so you may be training for an athletic competition, but what we're talking about in here, of course, is training to become more like God and training for godliness. And we've been starting this series, we talked about how to train for godliness, we need to be in the Word every day. I mean, obviously, we need to be able to hear from God and hear what God says about our life so we would know and have guidance from God day in and day out. We need to be spending time in prayer, that we're communing with God, we're talking with God, we're spending that time in devotion with God. And so now we're going to kind of take this to another level, and this morning talk about fasting. Fasting is kind of like caffeine for your habit developments in the spiritual world. It's sort of, we're going to talk towards the end of this morning where it's kind of the anti-habit habit. It's like a habit that you can do to help you break habits. By the way, I probably won't be talking in between services. I killed my voice last week again, and I'm already struggling here halfway through the service, so I'll see how I can get. Can you crank me up a little bit? I'll try to talk softer. There we go. All right. Yeah, it stinks losing your voice as a pastor. But when you add fasting to scripture reading, when you add fasting to your prayer, it's like a jolt of caffeine. In the midst of that, because what fasting is all about, it's about abstaining from food for measured periods of time in order to heighten my hunger for the things of God. Fasting is abstaining for foods for a measured period of time, in order to heighten my hunger for the things of God, in order to heighten my hunger for the things of God. When you read about fasting in other verses, every once in a while you'll read a verse in the Bible where you kind of look at that and you go, God, did you really need to say that? Because I think that was kind of obvious. Like when it says that Jonathan and his armor bearer were climbing up a mountain using their hands and feet. Thank you for that little tidbit. Like would they sprout wings and fly? Were they going to use their nose or teeth? I mean, of course they used their hands and feet. You didn't have to tell me they were climbing with their hands and their feet. Or this one, it says, and Jesus, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Thank you for that insight there, oh biblical scholar. But there's a reason oftentimes why God puts the obvious in there. And in the case of John and his armor bearer, there's an issue where they're climbing up to fight a battle, and it's letting you know that they are climbing up there completely defenseless because all of their hands and their feet, can't hold a sword, they can't hold a shield. They are completely defenseless, trusting in God for their protection as they climb. In this situation, God wants you to know that Jesus was fully human, for starters. Some people look at Jesus and say, well, of course he could fast 40 days and 40 nights because he wasn't human. He was like this angelic being floating on earth. No, he was hungry. In the same way that you would be hungry after 40 days and 40 nights with no food, he was hungry after 40 days and 40 nights with no food. But it's also sort of pushing you to understanding of fasting. Fasting is to give you a heightened awareness and a hunger for the things of God. So Jesus was hungry, and he was hungry for not just food, but also for the things of God during that time. When you think about hunger, we have a finite amount of hunger, if you think about it. We are only so hungry in a given day, and we can fill that hunger by all different means. There's all different kinds of things we look to for to fulfill and satisfy our hunger. From the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we're seeking to satisfy the amount of hunger that we have in a given day. And so some of us start that off, of course, with food. We eat a good breakfast, maybe eat a donut, whatever it is, get you going, get some coffee, get you moving, that physiological sort of satisfaction that you get. And you know there's a certain amount of hunger you get to where you don't need any more, like Thanksgiving. After you eat Thanksgiving dinner, do you need anything else at all the rest of the day? No, what do you do after you eat Thanksgiving dinner? You sleep. You're done for the day. That's it. As much as I love football, I can barely watch football on Thanksgiving Day, in part because it's the Cowboys and Lions, but the other part is because I just don't have a need for anything else. After that meal, What more could I ever ask for today to make today any better? It doesn't get any better than all the things that are on that Thanksgiving meal. And so I just eat that, and then I'm ready to just sack out after that, right? Because there's only so much hunger you have in a day. And so when you start off your day, maybe you start off with eating something. I know with my kids, there's an emotional hunger that they have. And so they start off their day, and as soon as they see mom or dad, what do they want? They want a hug. They want reassurance that they're loved. And so there's this emotional satisfaction that they're seeking and craving right there in the morning. And we go through the day needing to be affirmed throughout the day, needing that physical touch from somebody to affirm our being and our emotional worth. And so we have a hunger for a sort of emotional connectment. Some of you have a hunger for physical involvement because there's endorphins you get when you work out. Some of you say, I love to go running in the morning because it gets the blood pumping. I get all the endorphins going. I go to the gym 5 o'clock in the morning because it just gets me going. I'm ready to face my whole day after that workout because I need that, and I got a satisfaction out of that. For some of you, it's a satisfaction you get of a job well done. You know, have you ever had one of those days where all the laundry was done and put away? Isn't that just feel good? It rarely happens, right? There's always like a never-ending stack of laundry, but there's every once in a while you have that day where all the laundry, all the towels, all the sheets, everything's done, everything's mountain fresh, everything's wonderful, and you just kind of have that Febreze moment where you're like, yes, this is good. And it's satisfying, right? Maybe you've had that sense after you've mowed the yard and you've trimmed and you've weed-eated and it all looks perfectly pristine and beautiful. And you have that moment, you're kind of winding up your cord, putting away your last piece of equipment after you've blown the driveway clean and you just take it back. You kind of sit back and you look and you smell and you just enjoy and you go, wow. And it fills you, right? I mean, like you're done for the day after that. Or if you've been working on some project at work and you finish it, you have that sense of satisfaction that you've done, you've made it, it's over. Maybe you get an emotional attaboy from a boss or from a coworker. You have that same kind of feeling after you've watched a movie or read a good book. And you don't really have a need to watch anything else after that. Maybe you've read a book where you finish the book and somebody's like, what are you going to read next? And you're like, I don't know. I just need to process. I just need to kind of enjoy. I need to linger because you don't really have a hunger to read anything else at this point. You have a hunger to do anything else. You just kind of want to sort of marinate on it. Now, Netflix is the exact opposite. They purposely make their shows so you will never be satisfied, right? You always have to watch one more, one more, one more, one more, one more. But movies, on the other hand, are designed most of the time to sort of give you a sense of completement and fulfillment and to satisfy that hunger with the entertainment that you've received. And so you have that sense of fullness. Or maybe after you've won something, whether it be a video game or a game of checkers or cards, or maybe your team won something and you have that sense of completeness. Like if you're an Eagles fan, after the Eagles won, you were done. You didn't need anything else. You know, the rest of the day is good. I'm okay. I don't need to eat anything else. I've filled myself with cheesesteaks all day. I've watched the Eagles win. It is all good. The world can end right now because we have finally seen the Eagles win in my lifetime. You have that sense of fulfillment, okay? So what I'm really getting at is we have a finite amount of hunger in a given day. We have a finite amount of satisfaction that we're craving in a given day. Once that's been reached, we're kind of good for the day. So is it any wonder after we've spent a whole day of feeding ourselves and gorging ourselves on snacks in between meals, entertaining ourselves nonstop, seeking satisfaction at work and through friends and emotional fulfillment, is it any wonder when we get to the end of the day, we have no hunger whatsoever for God? For instance, all right, be honest. How many of y'all struggled to pray for 2 minutes a day this week? Anybody? How many of y'all have struggled to read the Bible for 5 minutes? See, there it is. We struggle with everything else that we're satisfying our hungers in life with. We struggle at the end of the day to have any hunger whatsoever for God or the things of God or God's word, to hear from God or commune with God or talk with God, because we've been so satisfied and filled with everything else throughout the day. And so the core essence of fasting is to go without food, to purposely create a hunger for the things of God, that you'd make room for that, that you'd open up your mind and your life to the things of God. Jesus, it says, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that he was hungry. And it says it was at that point that the devil came and tempted him and said to him, if you're really the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answers back, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What he's saying is, I've been feeding on the word of God. Now, what's interesting here, there's maybe some more depth here that we had never picked up on. Now, number one, it says that Jesus was going out into the wilderness where he would be tempted, and so he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Did he fast so he would be spiritually strong to be able to face the devil in the moment of temptation because he was so hungry and so close to God after his fasting time and so reliant upon God that there's nothing that Satan could ever tempt him with at that point? Maybe Satan thought to himself, this would be the perfect time in his weakness to come and try to tempt him. But reality was, is he may have been physically weak, but he was spiritually strong because he'd been feeding off of God. And his first response, I think, is a testimony of what he's been doing these past 40 days. He's been feeding on the word of God. We know that words can give you life. We know that words can give you physical sustenance. We know that words can give you emotional power and energy. That's why the sports bookies will give you a 3-point advantage just for playing at home. You know that? The home team always gets at least a 3-point advantage. So if they have two teams and they say, this team is 7 points better than this team, but if this team's playing at home, this team only has a 4-point advantage. You know that? I only know that because I listen to a lot of sports radio. Why is that? Because you feed off of the energy of the crowd. And when the crowd is giving you positive reinforcement and emotional encouragement, that does something for you physiologically in the game. That you actually are stronger and better and you play better in that moment. We often talk about emotional mood swings in a game. Like all the momentum is with a certain team. What's been happening? Have they eaten something? Have they gotten some sort of power from what they've eaten? No. There's been encouragement that's happened outside of food in that moment. We know that we play better when somebody's supporting us and encouraging us, and we play worse when somebody's talking down to us. And so what he's saying is, I've been feeding off of the word of God. I've been living off what God's encouragement has been telling me throughout this time. Would it be an encouragement to you if you were feeding off of things like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. If God is for me, then who could possibly ever be against me? I've been feeding on the word of God, and it has been my strength, and it has been my source. And we know, just even outside of what we read in the Bible, that words can give you strength. And here Jesus is testifying, the very word of God can give me strength. We see this again when in the book of John, Jesus is talking with this woman at the well. Maybe you know the story from John chapter 4. It says that they go into Samaria, and the disciples are pretty hungry, so they go in town to buy something to eat. Meanwhile, Jesus stays behind. He's sitting there at a well. This woman comes up. She's drawing water, and Jesus says to her this kind of a cryptic phrase. He says, if you were to come to me, you would have a water that you would never thirst again. And so they have that conversation. She begins a relationship with Jesus. She leaves to go tell everybody about it, and right then the disciples show back up, seeing him talking to this woman who just then walks away, and they're kind of wondering, what's he doing talking to a woman? Because in that context, in that culture, you didn't talk to a woman, especially not a Samaritan woman. There was a big racial issue there for them. But nobody asked, you know, why were you talking to her? What do you want? And so the disciples returned and they urged him, Rabbi, eat something. And he says to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. So the disciples said to each other, he had food this whole time? Like, why didn't he tell us? We didn't have to go into town if he had food this whole time. He's, you know, got a Subway sandwich in his back pocket. He could have shared. He could turn, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into a whole meal. Come on, seriously, you've been holding out on us? What's going on? It's like, He's like, my food, you guys, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about a different kind of food. Now, before I go further with this, I think some of you may have experienced what Jesus is talking about in a different context or different realm. You ever been at work and you've been so focused on a task and doing something and accomplish something that you skip lunch and didn't even notice? You been there? Yeah, you're just so into it. Or maybe you started watching a ball game and you didn't eat before, but you're so into the game and so intense, you skipped lunch. Maybe you skipped dinner, didn't even think about it because you were so into something. You were feeding off of the accomplishment you were getting that you didn't even think about food. What Jesus is saying is that I am so into what God is doing in my life. I'm so into what God wants to see down the world, I don't even think about food. It is my food. I'm feeding off of what I am doing and what I am accomplishing for God. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And what my hope for you is that you could cultivate the same kind of hunger for God and his word and his will that Jesus had. That in that moment where, you know, what is it that you're feeding off of right now? I'm feeding off of God and his word. And fasting isn't just about having hunger pains. It's also about having a hunger by God that gets satisfied by God and finding your satisfaction in God, not just in the daily indulgence of food. So let's talk a little bit more about what it really means to fast. There's different kinds of fast. You can fast from different things. You can do a complete fast where nothing comes into your body whatsoever. You can do a water-only fast. You could do a liquid-only fast. You can do what some people call the no meats or treats. What people call that the Daniel fast, where he just eats fruits and vegetables, which pretty much to me means a total fast anyway because I'm not eating fruits and vegetables. So if I said I'm doing a Daniel fast, you might as well just go ahead and say that's a complete fast. Unless a potato is a vegetable, because if so, then I'm all about the potato vegetable. Is that vegetable? Yes? No? Does it count? Corn? Corn syrup? Corn syrup? Does that count? Can I sneak in some corn syrup in the fruit and vegetable fast? I don't know. I'm trying to work it some way, somehow. But it's where I skip something. I go without one of those kind of things. Some people do a social media fast or a TV fast because I'm going to go without that which I'm craving or what I'm getting a satisfaction from. I'm going to put off that kind of thing. The duration of it can vary. For some people, they do just a sun up, sun down fast where you skip lunch. Some people do a dinner to dinner fast or a 24-hour fast or what Bobby talked about there in his training regimen was a 16-hour fast where you eat dinner, then you don't eat again until the following day at lunch. Was that how it worked? Did I get that right? Oh, yeah. And he says, even that can just do a cleansing in your body. So it can have a health benefit, but that's not really our focus right now. Our focus is on cultivating a hunger for God from this fast. You could do a 40-day fast. You could do a fast every Wednesday. You could do a fast every Friday. You could do whatever kind of fast. The goal, though, is what matters more than the routine of it. But the routine of it has to contribute to the goal. And that's why I would advocate, if you are medically able to, now if you're not medically able to, don't do this and just say, I'm relying on the power of God to control my diabetes. No, just let's be reasonable here a little bit. The goal, though, is to cultivate that hunger for God. And if fasting chocolate is not cultivating a hunger in you for God, then it's really not quite the fast that we're talking about here to begin with. I'm talking about a fast that would lead you to have a hunger and a desire for God. And part of fasting is where you're looking to God and saying, God, I want this more than I want food. I want an answer from you about what your will is more than I want food. I want to see my neighbor come to Christ. I want to see my son return home more than I want food right now. I want to see healing in my life more than I want food. God, I want your presence in my life more than I want to eat something. And Father, as much as I'm hungry right now, I am hungrier to see you work in my life than anything else right now. That's what a fast is all about. And so often the people got misguided notions about fasting. And so a lot of what you read about in scripture is where people kind of made a mess of fasting. I'd kind of done this for many years. I've talked about this in the past. I used to fast every single Sunday morning. I wouldn't eat until after church. And the reason why was ridiculous. It was because when I was in high school, the state bishop came to visit our church, and we would serve breakfast, kind of like we do here with all these different things we have to offer. By the way, I even had this like fiendish thought, like, I'm going to everybody show up, I'm not going to tell anybody, there's going to be no food, and I will force a fast, and then I'll explain the spiritual enlightenment later when everybody's mad. No, that's not really good fasting. You have to do this on your own. It has to be your choice to do this. It can't be a forced fast. Well, since the state bishop was in town, we were told he will attend breakfast, but he will not be eating breakfast because he fasts every Sunday. So I thought, if I want to be spiritual and pious, I will not eat before church on Sunday. And then all will know of my piety and my spirituality. So from the time I was in high school till just a couple years ago, like 20-some-odd years, I would not eat on Sunday because I just was like a Pharisee about my fasting. No spiritual value, not really hungering or seeking out God. I would try to say it was, but it really had no value. I would just skip it, not even realize it. And then finally, I was like, what am I doing this for? This is ridiculous. I'm going to eat. I am going to enjoy food because I'm getting nothing out of this and it's doing nothing for my relationship with God. And so I quit doing it altogether, and now I get a donut every week, every day on the way to church. So that's... I don't really know how those two things connect, but either way, praise Jesus for donuts. Sometimes, though, people would fast, and they would lose sight of the reason for their fast. And you see this over in Isaiah chapter 58, just one of their many examples. Isaiah chapter 58, I'll start in verse 2. It says, oh, you act so pious. You come into the temple every single day, and you seem delighted to learn all about me. You know, you all act like a righteous like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of God. And so you ask me to take action on your behalf, pretending like you want to be near me. We fasted before you, they say. Aren't you impressed? Well, listen, you may have been hard on yourselves and, you know, frustrated that I don't seem to notice. Well, I'll tell you why. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you're keeping your workers oppressed. What good is fasting while you're fighting and quarreling? You can't fast as you're doing today and expect God to listen to your prayers. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, like the bowing heads of the reeds that are being blown in the wind. You dress up in burlap and you cover yourselves with ashes. Is this really what you call fasting? You really think this is going to please the Lord? So this is not the kind of fasting I have chosen. What I want is to see you break the chains of injustice and lighten the burdens of those who work for you, to set the oppressed free and break every chain that binds people. When he's talking about a kind of fast that will lead to a hunger for the things of God, it's the kind of fast that will break the chains of injustice, break the chains that bind you. See, what you see happen when you begin to fast, that's why I call it the unhabit habit. You see, what happens in the habit, when we talked about habit loops, we talked about how your brain literally goes to sleep. That's why you can drive to work or you can drive to church, have no idea how you got here. You just got in the car and you just started going through the motions. You can get up and brush your teeth. I have no idea how you brush your teeth. What kind of toothpaste did you use? I don't know. Whatever one was in there. It's one I always use. I don't even remember what it was. I just brush my teeth. Do you brush your right hand or left hand? Right hand. You see, you have a hard time even knowing because you're asleep while you're doing all these habits. Studies show that you have the same cognitive level as you do when you're out cold asleep when you're in the middle of a habit loop. So what happens when you're fasting? Your stomach will not let you sleep, will it? It's like a two-year-old throwing a temper tantrum inside your body. I want food. I want food. Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. Right? And some of your kids are like, that's exactly what they do at dinner time, right? Mom, I need a snack. I just ate pizza and french fries at school 2 hours ago, and we're going to eat dinner in 2 hours from now, but can I have a Pop-Tart? I'm starving. And you see, we laugh when our kids say it because we know they're not starving. Starving is what the kids in Nicaragua are doing before they come to the feeding center. Their hair's brittle and is falling out, and their fingernails are showing signs of malnourishment because they haven't eaten in over a month. They haven't eaten anything more than a little bit of rice in over a month. And so they come to the feeding center that you guys provide when you tithe, and they get at least one good, nourished, reinfortified vitamin meal per day. At least one. Not snacks in between. At least one good meal per day is what we provide for them. And it changes their life. They know what starving is. Your kid don't know what starving is. You don't know what starving is. But yet your stomach, around 10:30 in the morning, is crying out, get some nuts, get some crackers, get some candy. I'm starving. And when you fast and lunch rolls around, it's like, all right, lunchtime, feed me, feed me, feed me. And you go, nope, excuse me. You don't tell me no. In case you forgot, I am you. And if you don't feed me, I will eat you from the inside out. Can you feel me nibbling on your stomach innards right now? I'm doing it. That's what I'm doing. You won't feed me? I will chew your stomach up, buddy boy. And you say back, well, you know, studies medically show that you won't begin doing that for 40 days. It'll take you at least 40 days to start eating me from the inside out. So what do you say to that? I say, what do you think is going on right now? What do you feel? Because I'm going to start eating right now. I'm going to nibble on your innards right now. You say, no, I'm not going to feed you. Well, fine, we'll skip lunch. But I'm not happy about it. Dinner rolls around. All right, you've made your point. We skipped lunch. It's time. No, we're not going to eat. Excuse me? You're playing with your life at this point, buddy boy. You don't put food in right now. We're going to start shutting systems down. The emotional system's going to shut down. The endocrine system, whatever the heck that does, we're going to shut that down. We're going to shut all systems down until you start feeding me. No, we're not going to feed you. We're not going to feed you. And pretty soon, you'll notice your hunger pains will go away. People ask me, how did you get your kids to go to bed at 7 o'clock when they were in preschool? I say, we went through a week and a half of cries and tears. We had to do it. For a week and a half, they screamed, they wailed, they argued, they just screamed. But we went through it. And pretty soon, they just started going to bed at 7. When you begin to fast, your body will scream out and tell you, you got to eat, you got to feed, you got to feed, you got to feed. When you say, no, 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 eventually it goes, okay, fine. Or you're in control. We'll eat when you're ready to eat. You see, your life is like Cookie Monster. Everything about your life, all of your wants, all of your needs, all of your hungers are like Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster motto is what? See cookie, want cookie, eat cookie. Now, I know there's some stupid modern Cookie Monster who's like the Veggie Monster Cookie Monster, but we all know Cookie Monster is Cookie Monster, not Veggie Monster, right? He see cookie, he want cookie, he eat cookie, he don't wait for cookie. And your stomach is saying, give me cookie. And your body's saying, give me something to watch. Your body's saying, give me something to buy. Your body's saying, give me something to look at. Your body's saying, give me something to have sex with. Your body's saying, give me, 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 give me. When you begin to fast, you take control and you say, no. No, I'm the boss here, you're not. And it can begin to break habits because you're consciously having to go through the day. Your mind can't go to sleep because your stomach keeps you awake. Your mind just can't float through the day because your stomach's constantly saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. Why aren't you feeding me? I'm not feeding you because I need to get control of my addictions. I'm not feeding you because I need to get control of my habits. I'm not feeding you because I need to get control of my behaviors. What are you going to do? Right now, I'm going to pray. Right now, I'm going to read scripture. I'm going to feed on God's word. I'm going to ask him for power. And you see, that's why fasting is like caffeine to your other spiritual disciplines because it fuels them and pushes you to them and motivates you to do them. And on top of that, it helps you break the kind of chains that are binding you because you can no longer sleepwalk through a day when you're fasting. So my question for you, are you going to train? Are you going to train for godliness? In the same way that Bobby would train for an event, in the same way the Olympic skiers would train for their event, will you begin to train for godliness? And if you're really serious about it, it's going to include fasting. It's going to include fasting. So already we've been struggling to just pray for 2 minutes, read the Bible for five. Let's step it up. Fast. I want you to fast for, just do a fast for at least one day, or maybe do it, you know, for every day, for a week, however you want to fast, just do some fasting, and then come back and tell me, did that enhance and help your ability to pray and to study your Bible on that day that you fasted? And if so, what can you do to begin to incorporate fasting as part of your habit and part of your routine to train yourself for godliness? Let's pray. God, every one of us in this room, we know that we try to be godly and we fail again and again and again. And we want desperately to develop and create habits that will make us more like you. So, Father, may we intentionally set aside some kind of food, completely or in part, to develop a hunger for the things of you that will bring me closer to you. We may truly know what it is to live on the Word of God, to meditate on you, to be fed by you, to hunger and thirst for righteousness and forgiveness and for grace, to hunger to see your will be done and your word proclaimed throughout our life. May we turn to you in this time and begin a spiritual discipline of fasting. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.